It is the 14th of October 2010. This is episode 65 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome along. I'm Chris, and it's me and Ian today. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
No Henry this week. How are we all? Well, how are we all? How am I? I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, but tired, because I've been down in your neck of the woods today. I've been up and down to London in a day.
Ouch. I thought I had a long day, you know, leisurely getting up and starting work about 8.
4 o'clock. This is how much I love the podcast. 4 o'clock this morning, I was eating my bowl of Frosties, thinking,
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, what a long day I've got.
It's a long time since I've seen 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I loved it even more that we sat at Glasgow Airport on the plane for 40 minutes waiting for Heathrow to give us a slot.
Nice. So
I'll give you a slot, Heathrow.
Yeah, be careful what you say here, because wasn't there a guy? Yeah, don't put anything on Twitter.
Oh, that's right. I'm not supposed to threaten to blow up things.
No, definitely not.
But I did see 2 stars.
Oh, yeah?
I was starstruck at Heathrow today.
How exciting. Who did you see?
Well, the minor one was Robbie Williams.
The minor one? Wow.
Yeah. Minor one. Exactly. You know, and that's what I mean. I'm building this up. Minor one was Robbie Williams, who we both entered at the same time.
Hang on. You entered Robbie Williams?
No. We both entered Heathrow.
Right, okay.
Walked through the doors of the glamorous Terminal 1. Which has to be quite honestly the biggest but smallest height wise terminal ever. Because as I came off the plane today, I was like, my head's going to hit the ceiling. It's all midgets down here. Anyway, I digress.
I bet when people tuned into this podcast, they weren't expecting this conversation.
No, and do you know what? Neither was I. And we had a kind of fleeting glance at each other. He turned to me. I turned to him. I knew where I was going. I think he was just looking for his minder to sort it out.
Yeah, he thought this big guy next to him.
And he kind of raised his eyebrows. Huh? And I thought to myself, yeah, you think I'm going to say something to you, you cock. And I just walked on. I thought, I ain't giving you any recognition whatsoever for all the crap that you've released over the years. So that was a minor one. I feel like, see, now I regret not having sound effects, because I'd have a drum roll right now.
Yeah, because you've built this up something chronic.
Christopher Biggins.
Superb. I agree.
Good old Christopher Biggins.
Entirely higher ranking than Robbie Williams, I would say. Has Robbie ever won I'm a Celebrity?
As you walked by, I just thought, he's not gay. Anyway.
Brilliant. So that's nice to know you, and the fact that you got searched. Sniffed.
Everything gets searched today.
Sniffed everywhere.
I get my bag, obviously, always gets searched. Obviously, because I'm carrying too many gadgets. My iPad gets separately searched, even though every other time it just went through. But no, I had to take the iPad out, and it all went back through again. And I get sniffed at both ends, both in Glasgow and Heathrow. I get sniffed.
It's your dodgy demeanour.
Obviously.
Anyway, I think we better get on with this, otherwise we're never going to get done. And
I said 47 minutes, but that ramble is going to take us to 53 now.
Right, let's get it in and under. Let's do 47. Right.
Go.
So the first story this week is Google doing worrying things with cars.
They're doing awesome things. This is the future.
I
Where
don't
is
disagree.
My jetpack?
they are developing driverless car technology, and they are driving around America in their cars without driving. Although I think I'm right in saying that they've actually had drivers behind the wheel.
So they always have like a guy inside, so just in case something goes terribly wrong, they can take control.
It's like that Kit moment, isn't it? Where in Knight Rider. I shouldn't really be going this. Wait,
I really hope this is a Kit moment and it's not just something that's like really tenuous.
No, I'm going to skip over that.
No, you need to know. You can't not.
No, because I'm going to be describing an episode of Knight Rider, which is not very good.
Well, it's not exactly spoiler-tastic. You know, I'm not going to sit there and go, oh no, it's been spoiled for me. I'll never watch it again.
No, I think we've rambled enough. So let's keep going.
So to get up 140,000 miles. It's not just like they've been driving around a bit. They've done 140,000 miles over the last 18 months.
So it's, and it's in a quite compressed space of time as well. It's pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah. So using video cameras, radar sensors, and a laser rangefinder to see other traffic, as well as the detailed maps. So it looks like they go and collect detailed, and I don't know if it's separate maps to the Google, the actual Google Maps. I got the impression it was.
Yeah, I think it is. I think the car scans the route and it collects a whole ton of, you know, probably radar data as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've seen other companies doing things similar, and certainly in test bays and areas, and even in controlled environments, they've made their driving car.
In America, there's a whole lot of DARPA challenges, which was trying to take this forward. So there's a whole lot of military connotations, and this is what they were trying to drive forward. And it looks like Google took the best of the bunch from the recent DARPA competitions and did their own.
And Google, being Google, with all the resources they've got, they can actually go and put this into practice and play with it and see what happens.
The best bit about this, it was just another blog post on their blog. Yes. No huge fan of it. It was just, oh, by the way.
One of the many things that they do, yeah.
In a year's time, I really want them, you know, Google develops rocket packs. It'd just be so cool.
They're out there. It's just, it does take someone like a Google. I mean, to put the money behind it, what? My question on this is, Google's core business is advertising. Are they thinking these cars will enable people to be looking at billboards more? I don't know what, you know, their angle is on this, why they're doing it, but I don't really mind.
Targeted billboards, they know you're in your car. When you drive by, you like Bambi, so they'll show you some deers. I don't know why Bambi and deers came into my head, sorry. I think that's sleep deprivation catching up.
I think it might be. So they're moving things on, and I mean, they say they're doing it with all, you know, police permission. They do tell people they're doing it, and it is all control. So good for them, and getting real world experience doing something that is, I guess, the future.
It is the future.
Okay, but we've got a fair few of Google stories today, so we're going to keep going with them for a bit. I don't know if it's rumors or speculation that Google OS might actually be released next month. So in about a month's time, as it happens. Which is close. I mean, it's about a year since they announced it, and I think it's only going to be a release candidate. But that's getting on for the time when we can really get our hands on it and see what it's all about.
And they did say a year ago it was about a year away anyway.
Yeah.
So that would, from what I read, or I only kind of briefly read it, I think it was more. If you look at what they've done internally, they all reckon it's all pointing to a month away because of what they're doing internally with releases at the moment.
Yes, release dates, sorry, release numbers and all the kind of talk that's going on. The
stars are aligning.
They are, and I'm quite excited by it, as I think I've said all along. I don't know if I've got any hardware I can put it on. That's the only problem. I don't really want to have to buy another bit of hardware, but I think it's the future.
I don't know. I still would like to see where this goes and where Android goes.
I'm sure I've said something along those lines before, but I think apps are a temporary stopgap. We will be moving back to the web.
Oh, I think so. I think in 5 years' time, we won't have the proliferation of apps that we have now.
And therefore, Android becomes less relevant and something like a Google OS becomes far more relevant.
Oh, I think the Google OS is a future bit, isn't it?
Yes, that's what I think. So that's why I find it quite exciting, actually.
Good.
Okay, we've had Google goggles. Google goggles, easy for me to say. It's now made it onto the iPhone.
Finally, and I thought this was the best app name of the year, but on iOS, you don't actually get a Google Goggles app. It's part of Google Mobile app, and you just pick the little...
So you never get to click on Google Goggles.
No, I want to see Google Goggles. but you know what? It works. You take a picture, goes away and does a search, and comes back with some results.
Now, I've never used it. Is it just for barcodes, or can it take a picture of anything?
No, you can do your crazy take a picture of like a product or like a logo. And it'll go away. And so if I took a picture of my mouse, it didn't actually detect the mouse, but it did actually pick up the Logitech logo on the mouse and come back and say Logitech logo. And let you search more for Logitech products. And so it's your mileage varies. And it's also, you know, it just depends on certain bar. You know, you get a barcode on like my bottle of Diet Brew, but I'll never go and find that that's a bottle of Diet Brew, and you can buy it for 59p from because Amazon. It
only exists in your small neck of the woods.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. See, when I'm down in London next week, I need to source Diet Brew.
I'm sure Morrison's, that's the kind of closest to the north we get here.
That's a shocker.
You've got something here saying Noogle Noggles launched too. What the heck's that?
So there's an app on Macs called Delicious Library, which me and Shaku really liked version 1, and version 2 is very buggy. And the guide behind it said it was too ambitious and stuff, but I think it's just a piece of turd, really. But he actually had a Delicious Library app on iOS. The problem was it used Amazon cover art, and Amazon hit him with you need to take it off the App Store because that is breaking one of our, you know, usage, you know, our usage of that data isn't allowed on mobile devices.
Yeah.
So he was a bit annoyed and he took it away. But he's put out a free app called Noogle Noggles, which uses his kind of scanning technology, because he did have a lot of knowledge around barcode scanning, because that's how Delicious Library worked.
Mm-hmm.
And he called it Noogle Noggles. You do the search, but then it just calls Google Goggles in the background. It's just all API driven.
Right, okay.
So you still get the same results, just a different UI. I guess he was kind of stuffed. I think he was hoping to get this out before Google launched their version.
Yes, so, yeah.
But he came out after.
So,
but still, it's actually very popular. It was some crazy thing, like number 15 in the App Store. So it just shows you what a bizarre name. But he's also well known in the app community, so he was on every blog. You know, so it definitely gets it out there, probably as big as a Google launch, if you know what I mean.
Yes. The internet buzz.
And just a little aside to that, Amazon also updated their app to include barcode scanning as well. So it looks like barcode scanning is the future. Everybody's doing it.
How quick is it?
Scarily, surprisingly quick.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, and I guess it's back to the, in my head, I would have thought it would have taken a while to do. But it's all getting done in Google servers. So the server's doing the hard crunch, and all it's doing is sending a kind of, I guess, a low-res picture away.
Barcode's such an old technology now, isn't it? I mean, I know they have things like the 3D barcodes now and all that.
Yeah.
You know, the grid barcodes and stuff, but it's amazing how pervasive it is.
Yes, it's very, very useful. Yes. Very useful. Sound like an old duffer there. It's very, very useful.
Another Google Sony collaboration. So Google TV, Sony's bringing out Google TVs, basically.
Yes. So rumored for a couple of months, and I think everybody knew they were coming, but we finally got to see them this week. So four different devices, all 1080p apart from the smallest at 24 inch, but they all have built-in Wi-Fi, four HDMI ports, and four USBs. It doesn't have the same kind of hardware usage as maybe the Logitech device, which was talking about doing video chats and other bits and pieces on it. But it does give you Google Chrome as a browser. It does allow you to search across what you've recorded and what's coming on.
So this will integrate. Does it, the idea of this, it will integrate with your set-top box? Is that the idea?
Well, the thing with the Sony's Google TV is you don't need a set-top box. It's baked into the TV itself. So you're basically, this is the next kind of version of Sony already had what the class is internet TVs, and I guess this is the new version with Google TV built in.
Yes.
So you're getting the Google Chrome browser, and you're also getting the apps alongside it as well. So you're getting Twitter and all these other things.
Now, I'm assuming this is very US-centric at the moment, seeing as we haven't heard too much about it over here.
Sony did say it was coming here, but at the moment, all they've done is released a release date in America, which is this weekend, and also released prices for America, and it's only £100, $100 more than the similar spec internet-enabled Bravia devices. With a lot of people surprised at how keen the pricing is, because the Logitech device was $400. So quite expensive.
So this is looking to the future of TV when we don't have a Sky package, we actually source our content maybe direct from provider.
It's
source.
A bit of both. I mean, I Google are still saying that, you know, it's back to this, it gives you full internet on your TV, rather than this, you know, maybe an Apple view or some other boxes view where you're getting a here is our take on what you look at. They're just saying, well, here's some apps you can go and get your data. And by the way, there's a browser. Just go and surf.
Yeah.
I think it looks excellent. I mean, I'm surprised how much I really, you know, the internet on my new Sony Bravia is really nice. You know, just being able to go into iPlayer and just start something and having it on the TV is really slick.
And I guess it does hint at that what it's going to be like going forward. The fact that you choose when you want to watch the BBC, and say BBC have been very, very good at, you know, that whole kind of side of things and allowing people to do it.
I guess one of the things I've been thinking about is as an app, I'm not letting out my app secrets. There's nothing somebody's going to sit there and go, oh, genius. But it was, you know, when you're watching any TV, you know, any of the big kind of TV events, Twitter has turned into that's kind of where you get everybody's reactions straight away. And I thought, what a great iPad app that would be if you could, you know, hashtag of X Factor or alongside your TV guide, it was auto getting the latest tweets on that particular episode. So you were getting almost like the two information sources, because a lot of people do react on Twitter or read other people's Twitter comments as they're watching these programmes.
BBC did similar idea with, they did their own implementation. I think it was on The Apprentice last year.
And I think Virtual Revolution, Virtual Revolution did it as well. They put up a hashtag, but imagine having that just scrolling at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, and completely open rather than actually just tied to a particular programme. Yeah,
yeah,
good idea.
You know, and it's just a... As I guess as you start to get maybe like, you know, richer programme guides, you know, to have that alongside it, and you say, well, give me my friends' reactions from Facebook, give me the Twitter reactions from maybe certain locations, you know, so give me, you know, everybody in Glasgow what they're talking about around Apprentice right now, you know, so you get a local view as well.
It does rather tie people to live TV though, rather than on demand.
Yeah, but you can see from Twitter trends that there are still a lot of people will watch these things live. Yeah, I mean, I feel almost forced to watch Apprentice live, because if you don't, you can't use Twitter.
Because you can't be away from Twitter for that long, can you?
Well, it's just just by chance you're going to find, you know, even just someday, you know, you might not be thinking about a certain thing. You'll just fire it up and you'll be like, ah, okay. I know what's happened. And there is something nice about seeing people's reactions. You're sitting watching some of these guys. They're absolute arseholes.
It's nice to know that other people think they're complete twonks as well.
Oh, I mean, it's just, some of the stuff this week
was classic
absolute
TV. I love
priceless.
The Apprentice. I love it.
It's genius.
So as well received as the Sony TVs have been, their Sony TV remote has been equally badly received, basically.
I did see somebody did actually say they liked it. And I was
I tell you what, I've looked at this. Now,
come on.
For those people that haven't seen it, it's kind of, it's almost like an old-fashioned console size thing.
And I've put it in the show notes, see when the first Kindle designer got the bag for the first Kindle, Sony rubbed their hands and thought, there's a designer we'll get for cheap. What will we get them to do? We'll get them to do our first Google TV remote.
I guess actually it's kind of like the PlayStation controller, but where the gap between the two sort of prongs that you put in your palm of your hand has been filled in, and they've got a really crappy looking keyboard on there instead.
Somebody looked at the chat pad on the Xbox 360 and thought, hey, that's a good idea.
The chat pad and the rest of the controller as well. So anyway, it's mustn't great. Wump of thing. I don't think it's as bad as all that. It does. There probably are, you know, a hundred or so buttons on it.
There are, and there's even people that have played with it and they can't figure out what the buttons do. There's more buttons than you know what to do with.
I mean, TV remotes are generally getting quite bonkers, complicated anyway. Say Sky are about the best one out there, probably. My TV remote itself is pretty. It's got lots of buttons on it, but this one does take the biscuit.
Put it this way, this would totally fail the mother test.
Yes. Turn the TV on? Yes, I bet there's a button there for actually turning your TV while you're... Anyway.
In fact, I'd love to actually go into Comet and ask one of the guys to fully demo every button on that remote, please.
Before I buy this TV, I'm going to make you work.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Love it. We should do it just for the fun of it. Facebook are allowing you...
I need to stop you. Facebook, 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 Facebook. There's loads of Facebook this week.
Oh, crikey, yes. Brace yourself, Facebook haters.
No, but it's good news.
Yeah, Yeah, okay. They're now allowing you to get back out the data that you've put into Facebook.
Wee.
But that, I mean, that to me, that sounds is. My issue has never been the fact that you can't get hold of the data you've put in there. It's that you don't have any control about that data once it's in there. You can't.
And the control of the data is still an issue. But I've also always had a problem with the fact that if I upload any photos or I put anything on there, I can't get it back out. You know, so just say a rival does start up, I can't export any of my content and take it anywhere.
And so, yes, it's definitely, I mean, no, there's, you're not going to get any complaints from me about them now allowing you to get your stuff back out again. But I don't think it really addresses the real issue, which is that, you know, once the data's in there, you cannot get rid of it.
So they've done two things. There's a download that's now available. It puts all your data in a zip file. Seemingly, it's not a very machine readable file. It's like a kind of HTML file rather than like an XML that somebody could then nicely import. But I'm sure somebody will write an import routine for it. Seemingly, because it's not on my profile yet, but seemingly it also grabs photos where you've been tagged in as well. So it will grab other people's photos that you're tagged in, which some people might be annoyed with, yeah. And other people think that's really good.
I think it's a good feature, but again, it shows that they don't really care about ownership.
No. At the same time, I've also got a new dashboard to see how applications connect to your data. So that, again, they're just trying to, you know, where is your data being used right now? Because more and more sites are plugging into it. If you go to a site, a lot of the time we'll just say, just log in with Facebook. Oh yeah, you want to share your data with us. Of course you do.
It's kind of worse than that, in that Facebook, once you've got your cookie there, which means that you're logged in, automatically be logged in wherever you go.
Instant personalization.
That's what they call it. But in effect, that does mean that, I mean, there's you don't have a lot of control about what a developer does and doesn't do with your data, because automatically connecting does mean that there's potential that they could collect data about you and your friends if they're on your site and using it, basically. But it's, I mean, they've obviously got policies in place that stop you, you know, well, to tell developers not to do bad stuff with your data, but there's nothing really. That's why people scrape quite successfully off of Facebook,
because
it's a pretty easy process to do, really.
Not good.
Yeah, but again, I like the fact that we now can get hold of the data and get it back out of Facebook. So it's now a two-way process, but you can't get rid of that data. It's only...
No, and I did read a story through the week that a guy had deleted his photo 16 months ago and it was still available this week.
Yeah. And
because all they'll say is, yes, we'll delete it, but we won't give you a timescale as to when we delete it.
And they've always said it all the way along that, you know, even when they have deleted, it doesn't necessarily mean it's completely permanently gone.
Yeah, but I do think they're now at that kind of size, you know, the size where governments are taking an interest in an activity. So they do have to become a lot more clear about what they're doing with data.
they've had Canada on their tails for ages and they've not done anything about it.
I don't know.
those pesky Canadians. They're known for their aggressive tactics.
Yeah, we need to...
in the Mounties.
To be honest, it's probably only when the American government gets interested enough. I think they are starting to sniff around it. I think they realise just how much power they have now got. They have become almost like the internet's address book.
I mean,
they're the closest thing to it.
Yeah, pretty. And I hear their tactics as well. That, you know, they're saying that we're just trailing behind where the direction of the internet's going, and you know we should just be quiet. And users love this, and I'm sure users do. But, you know, I still think that there should at least be options to control.
Yeah, but users love the applications they get and don't understand, you know, what's happening in the background.
Yeah, users would love a free, you know, anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But even if that meant selling stuff that they had no idea they were giving away in the background.
Selling your soul.
Exactly. Facebook has overhauled its groups. Did Facebook have groups?
Yes. You should know that. We've got a group.
Of course I know. Yes, I'm stupid.
Not our group.
How ridiculous.
But that other secret group that we're a member of.
Yes. Don't talk about the group. That's the first rule of the group. Oh,
forgot about that. So they have groups, but confusingly, this is a different groups feature with the same name. So
I bet that's easy to control the privacy of.
Well, I had the same kind of reaction as well, because I was like, right, I'm looking at groups, and it's obviously not the same groups that they're talking about. Oh, maybe it's getting upgraded. No, there's going to be a different groups. You still have your existing groups.
Do you watch the Michelin Web Look, or whatever, is it called Michelin?
The Michelin Web Look.
Hang
is
on.
That like the kind of fat tire version?
But it's the. Have you seen the Hennymoor sketch where there's confusion because the two things are identical? Anyway, if you, I'm going to stop again.
All I can hear is tumbleweed.
Yeah.
They're bringing around this new group feature, and what you can basically do is take your friends and edit them into groups.
So it's like lists. But
it's not lists, which you can currently do as well.
Oh, okay.
So, confused?
Yes, I'm very confused, and I haven't even seen how they're controlling the privacy of this one.
Well, interestingly, you can keep it as private, or you can keep it as invite only, but people can read what's going on, but they can't actually participate, or you can have it as open. I mean, it's open, anybody can join. And you can also set it up that other, like a friend of you, you can invite your friends in, even if they're not friends of me, and I've created the group. So there's some groups that are, there's loads of groups started up, like, you know, tech bloggers and podcasters and all that kind of stuff. And if you're a friend of somebody that's been invited in, they can invite you in. That can,
right, so there's not a lot of control there then?
No, and some people are actually saying it looks like Google Wave.
Ah, okay.
And that you can get that kind of group chat set up, and it pulls together conversations within that group. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, because you can get invited in without your permission, some I guess, again, it's back to the kind of prominent tech people. They were waking up the next morning and having 50 group invites sitting in their inbox, which they accepted because it's like, oh, this is really cool. But then they started getting like email updates from group conversations that day.
So it was as bad as spam, yeah.
You can't turn it off unless you leave the group. So there's things like that. It's like, ugh.
Yes.
So there's also some simple doc editing in there as well in group chat. So it did sound like a kind of cut down Google Wave. And you do wonder, should that be the model? Is that a more successful model than what Google Wave was, which was here's a kind of group environment with some really complex stuff around about it, but there's no use case.
Well. Okay, I don't think I've got an opinion on this really. I mean, I don't.
Next.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, pretty much.
We need to try it, don't we? We need to try it.
I guess so. It's only fair that we try it out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on mine anyway.
So Bing now, Bing. Title of Bing likes Facebook.
Bing,
I like it.
Bing,
it's good.
Bing, Bing, Bing.
So basically, Bing are going to come back with a block of search results that are from your friends or things that your friends have searched on.
So you'd mentioned just a few minutes ago about that cookie, that instant personalization feature.
Yes.
that Facebook have called it, which is basically an evil cookie that sits in the background and logs you in everywhere.
Evil cookie, I love it. I am a cookie.
God, I could mother a cookie right now. The
cookies.
You do a search in Bing, it recognises your Facebook account through instant personalisation, evil cookie, and it will automatically start to see links that your friends have liked. So they give an example.
The friends has to have liked them. It's not just Bertie has been searching for.
Yeah. And the example they've given is you're searching for a steakhouse in San Francisco, and if you've liked a certain steakhouse in San Francisco, then you get the result, but also the name of your friend appears alongside the result as well, as it's like an endorsement to say this is the one that Chris goes to.
You've got to know a lot of people to make that useful at all.
Yeah, but a lot of people do know a lot of people.
I
really do think that they're one of the few places now that have got the size and traction to roll that out, and it's probably going to start to be useful for people.
Yeah, okay. I'm interested, but I don't think.
So the same way it's going to also. What was that?
I don't use Bing, so I don't know. No.
Well, yeah. And so the same, we're going to do the same for movie results and news articles as well. So as you're searching for maybe a topic, and if you have liked or read a topic somewhere, I mean, I don't like things. If you know what I mean.
No, I never click on a like. I don't want people knowing what I like and what I don't like.
Yeah, it just seems such a kind of. And another thing is I start to get a bit peeved when I'm getting, like, you know, videos liked, and you fire up Facebook and there's like 10 videos sitting there, and I'm like, these are all crap. And the only way to get rid of it is to unfriend them.
And that's because a lot of people are using the social integrations just to make them click like against things so that they can get access to
I just refuse to click on those.
Exactly, but then you never know whether it's that friend has clicked on that video because of they
it's
have
just
to.
Spam. It's absolute spam.
Yeah. So it's kind of ruining a potentially good thing.
But they're also going to use Facebook to do better people searches. So look for a person and Bing will analyse the people you know and the people they know through Facebook and return those who are most closely linked to you socially.
Okay. I'm looking forward to when Bing actually updates with their HTML5 stuff.
Yeah.
And that looked good a few weeks back. So looking forward to that. But until that date, I probably won't be using Bing and I certainly won't be having a look at this social side of things. I don't really care what you like.
See that when I do my picks.
Oh, yes, okay.
Oh, fatal flaw.
Yes, that's a good point. Skype 5 has been released. I am actually talking through Skype 5 right now.
And I would love to be, but I'm using a Mac.
So you can't. And actually, you're not missing a great deal. It looks relatively the same. You get images in contacts now. I know that they've got group video chat now, which is something we've been asking for a while.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a bit interesting to try.
But other than that, I would say that if you hadn't told me it was a version increment rather than a point increment, I wouldn't have really known.
I guess the interesting one is that the Facebook integration, so it's a final Facebook story, I hope. But seemingly you can now see the full Facebook feed inside Skype. So, and if I've got my phone number in, you can just call me directly from Skype as well.
And yes, so there is a tab which is Facebook. I haven't integrated it in there. But why do I want Facebook in there? I'm not sure why.
Don't know. I mean, they do share an investor. So there's an investor in Facebook who's also an investor in Skype. And there's been lots of rumours about the integration that Facebook and Skype were going to do.
So instead of just Facebooking people, you can now talk to them, I guess, as well. But
yes, and whether that then comes to the Facebook pages as well, so you're on the Facebook website and you can just hit a button and Skype somebody,
which
it's all small stuff. But then Facebook, a lot of there were rumors that Facebook would just go and buy Skype.
Another buyer for
Well, there's just I guess there's a few companies with a lot of money.
Facebook makes
around.
Much more sense than eBay ever did, I think.
Oh, eBay was just wrong.
Yeah, it just didn't ever really sit very well, did it?
I mean, it's like the only time I want to talk to someone is probably when I was moaning about the purchase or moaning about something I've bought,
and
they're
not going
to want to talk
calls,
to me.
You
know, it's like, oh, he wants to Skype at me and moan me. I don't think so.
Yeah, but As I've said before, I don't care what happens to Skype as long as it remains free for me and the service.
You're peaky. You're absolute peaky.
As long as it remains this. I mean, Skype is brilliant. I mean, it's business critical, I'd say. It's that important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's back to, it's just one of these, if you're a startup, it's just essential. If you're home worker, it's essential.
I mean, but sadly, that does mean that I would be prepared to pay for it. But
is
I hope
that
they
thing?
Never go
is
down
that
route.
Is that a bad
route.
Thing for a business critical tool that you pay for it?
No, I don't think it's bad, but I would obviously rather not.
No, true, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I mean, so I would rather they just kept the service as it is because I think it's brilliant.
True.
And I guess if they did end up charging, then it would probably mean it would fragment the market because then someone would come along and do a free one that then the users would be on there and,
I'd like to, and that's the advantage they've got. The user base they've got is massive. And I'd like to think they keep what they've got now free. And if they want to start charging for the group chats and all that kind of stuff, then crack on.
I wonder if they make any money out of real. I mean, I do occasionally call people via Skype.
Oh, no, they do. They do. They do turn over quite a bit.
I hope they do because that's certainly the direction.
Over. And it's things like, if you want to charge for a video group chat, which we might use, once a week. We'll try it for once, and if it works out, then I'd be willing
ideas.
To pay a couple of quid for that.
Don't give them ideas.
I think they've already said that they're going to do it anyway.
Okay. So I wouldn't particularly have noticed that there was a change. But always nice to see new things coming.
And the
out,
Mac right? one is coming soon. I've updated the page today to say coming soon.
Will it make the Mac one easier to use? Because I find the Mac version is horrible.
Oh, it's rubbish. And they have said they're going to redo it.
Just make it the same as the PC one.
But you know what? Remember, I used to say to you, what the hell? How do you get a chat?
How do you do this?
It's just so hidden away. Some
doesn't
of the stuff
make any sense.
Honestly gets in my tits. You're just sitting there and you just want to do something dead simple and you can't.
Exactly. So I completely understand what you're talking about then. It's because it's
by a Mac.
Okay, so we have got a release date for Windows Phone 7 in the UK.
And it's
sooner. Well, it's wet back when they said.
Yeah, it's sort of October 21st.
Not very far away.
A week today.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to the queues already.
I don't think so. Are you interested at all? Does it spark anything? Any juices to flow in there?
I still really think the interface is really nice. And I know it's a kind of one thing. It's one of these that you're either going to love it or hate it. I really like it. I know Shaq thinks it's just rubbish. I know that from reading the kind of previews from the announcement they did last week, people have seen it's a lot of scrolling around to get anywhere.
But I've also heard that the well powered handsets they scroll silky smooth.
Mm.
You know they're lightning fast. And
you'd think that because the you know, and I guess the one thing that was odd for me is they've come out with 10 new phones.
Yes.
But then because they partner up with lots of different hardware manufacturers, that was bound to happen. You know, it's the same with Android.
Android's on every
hardware platform, almost apart from Apple, really.
It's like the council who has to make sure that they include pictures of every single element of society to make sure they tick boxes. Microsoft have to make sure that they placate every single hardware manufacturer.
Yeah, including the token white guy.
We're
in thin ice for fat lads around that one.
Yeah, Microsoft, aren't very good at...
No.
Haven't got a good track record, so, I think.
But part of me felt like, you know, would they have been better just partnering with like an HTC and see that HTC HD7, which they're saying is like the kind of top spec one, which so it's like it's the same spec as a top spec Android or the iPhone 4, you know, from a processor power and all that kind of good stuff. Would they have been better just saying, look, that's the first one we're going to have out for the next 6 months and just focusing everything on that?
I think they're in the same position that Android. They can't do that. They can't be seen to follow one thing. And I don't think they need to. I think Android has shown that, okay, they are in a bad place, Android, in that they're fragmented beyond belief at the moment. I was reading there's over 100 different implementations out in the market at the moment.
Yeah.
Bonkers. They're marketing themselves as an intermediate space between iPhone, which is obviously the ultimate control, Android, which is the ultimate openness, and they're putting themselves plonk in the middle, where they're controlling the things that they, you know, they're kind of saying it doesn't matter what the handset is, as long as that handset meets these minimum specs, we don't care who manufactures it, because the experience is going to be exactly the same across all of them.
If they'd come out 2 years ago with it, then they would have had a nice, healthy market share right now. They wouldn't be leaders, they wouldn't be in second place, but they would have a nice market share. Now, I'm just not so sure. I just don't know if it's enough.
And I don't think many people are. Even people who generally have strong opinions on things like this, they don't seem to know either way what's going to happen. I don't think Microsoft knows what's going to happen.
It's like when iPhone first came out, I think everybody knew it was like, that's like a next gen, that's like a step up. When Android came up, it was like, you know, that will own the market eventually. And with this, it's like, it is nice.
I guess it depends. If they can get into the business market, because RIM haven't come up with anything that's particularly sparking anyone's imagination. So if they can do a good implementation across their you know, business market, there's no reason why they can't be pervasive enough to sort of do that tipping point. You know, if they get the right applications and do them well, they'll get to a tipping point, which will make it worthwhile. But
I think that's a bit where it just starts to come undone for me. You know, I look at Android, it was aggressively upgraded, you know, to catch up and in some ways overtake iOS. iOS has always been on a fairly healthy upgrade, you know, path. Is this going to be the same? You know, because I think that's always let down kind of Windows phones before. You know, look how out of date they got.
Yeah, and can
it took them so long to react. So long.
I would say in this first incarnation, it almost looks like they have to have a point increase relatively soon because they're still slightly behind.
Whereas it's already announced.
So that's going to happen.
So on the launch day, they actually said, you know, version, and I don't know if it was like, you know, whether it's called 7.1 or 1.1 or whatever it was called, their next point release, and it has got like, you know, cut and paste, you know, the things that they've slagged off the competition for not having.
I mean, I think we've all proved to ourselves that as much as we slagged off about cut and paste, I've probably used it 4 times on my phone.
I've used it more than 4. I've used it often enough for it to be a feature that I like to have. But it's not one of these things that was ever going to kill me.
And it's the same with multitasking. You know, I'm sure it's useful in the implementation that's come in there, but full multitasking is probably beyond what you want to do on a phone, you know, anyway. So as much as we all bitch and moan about these things, you know, we don't always know what we what we need.
And I think that the ultimate problem with it, I just don't think it's got enough to tempt people. People are going to look at it and go, that's too risky a purchase, especially on an 18-month, two-year contract.
I'm not going to get the iPhone 4, but if my purchasing decision at the moment would therefore be, you know, something between this Windows or Android, and Android's easily winning that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's...
It just feels more...
I just can't see people going for it.
Because sometimes the halfway ground is not attractive. It's neither one thing or the other. So I'm thinking with a Windows phone, I'm going to be stuck in a half-controlled environment, which, you know, it's not fully open like I can do with the Android, and therefore the geekiness in me likes the idea of that. But yep. It's not fully controlled and get all the benefits of, you know, that really controlled environment that you have with the Apple. It's somewhere in between, which I just think could get messy.
And also it's brand new. Nobody knows how the app kind of environment's going to evolve. Yeah, you know,
will developers make money? Because that's all they're bothered about.
You could plonk down £300-400 or just say it's £200 in a phone, commit to a 2-year contract and just be stuffed for the next 2 years.
And it's most people are, you know, and most people are stuck in contracts anyway, aren't they?
So exactly. You know,
takes
so
a long time now.
If you've bought an iPhone 4, if you've bought a new Android device, you're not going to be buying one of these.
I mean, because before people had smartphones, I know some contracts were, you know, 12 months or whatever, but it didn't cost you that much to get out of those contracts. It wasn't such a big deal. And they offered upgrades really often.
But they also were always 12 months. Then they started creeping to 18, but that
now,
was rare.
And now they're 24 months.
Now it's all 18, 24.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So you were really stuck in. I mean, that's slowing down the buying of, you know, different handsets, I guess. You've got to time things right. You wanted to talk about a website called App Hall of Fame, and I guess it comes down to this controlled environment.
Only very briefly. It's a website that every month they're going to recommend apps, the best apps. So it launched this week with 12 new apps. Every month, that most 12 will be added. I think it's an all right idea, but even looking at it right now, it just looks very old and tired. You know, it's
they're apps that have been around for ages.
But I think that the whole point is just to promote what they see as the best apps. Because if you're now looking at iOS, I think they're talking about there's 250,000 apps there now.
But everyone's bought the apps that they're recommending at the moment. That's why they're the top apps.
But there are still new users coming in.
I'm
sure by, you know, 4 or 5 months. The problem I see it after like 10 months, they're up at 100 apps. And are they going to keep it refreshed? Are they going to see that one we recommended back then? Wouldn't use that anymore. Here's a better one.
Maybe, but...
I don't know.
And how can you be sure? I know they're... How can you be sure they're not impartial, basically?
That was my other flaw. They talked about who'd have a number of people critiquing to make sure it was, you know, independent or whatever, but I failed to believe
it. They can
it.
Only critique as much as depending on whether someone's shoved them a backhander. Yeah. right. Back to Mac.
Our picks are ever influenced in any way whatsoever.
If I tell you what, if our picks could be influenced,
bring it.
Absolutely, I am 100% willing to take a backhander and shove out a pick.
In fact,
anyone
you'd do it for
there,
food. Buy him a curry, and he'll recommend your
app.
And
you'd be surprised how cheap that would be. right, back to the Mac. You're going to just tell me about this because I have no idea.
Yeah, and I've been kind of had a bit of a mental week. And I was out out of touch with all my kind of my Twitter feeds and Google Reader and stuff, and I just saw this and I was like, woohoo! Next week, Apple are holding a Back to the Mac event. Unusually for them, or maybe again, it's maybe a bit of deception. The graphic they've put out shows the Apple logo slightly, you know, as if it's punched out of metal and slightly turned, and underneath you can see a picture of a lion. And as you know, all the OS X releases,
yeah,
or sorry,
I need OS X
to, I keep on saying OS X, and it is
I'll
just to
OS
wind
X
up.
As well.
It's just to wind up Henry, because it just bites every time.
I think I'll start saying Ossix.
Ossix.
Well, it won't be Ossix anymore, will it?
Do you know, I can see him tutting right now. I've got that mental picture. Oh, for goodness sake.
So you don't reckon
everybody's saying this is like, this is going to be the 10.7, and because... 10.5 is a fairly biggish upgrade, and it was Leopard. The next one was more of a under the hood, preparing things for the future, and it was Snow Leopard. It was fairly incrementally. I think a lot of people, just because Apple's been so quiet around the Mac environment,
it's almost like they haven't cared about the. You know, they've said we've done desktops, and we've got it to the point where we're happy with it.
And I think, you know, for a company of that size, I think they have been stretched.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the Google or the Microsoft resources there. I'm sure they could have.
You keep saying that, but you're absolutely wrong.
I'm not.
Anyway, nah, you are.
I'm not.
They've got.
I'm not.
They are sitting on billions and billions of dollars.
No, I don't mean resources. And that's what I was just saying. For the money they've got, they could have the same manpower, but they don't have the manpower.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how many people they have working.
No,
there.
Manpower, and I don't know. I'll get the actual figures for next time.
Okay,
so we can have a ha ha.
That is their choice not to have that manpower.
yeah, and maybe there's a thing about a certain size, but they did get stretched. I think iOS did stretch them, and yeah. I think you can see that sometimes when they do have issues. I think they maybe don't react as quick as
they're not as
you would hope.
They were, yeah.
So lots of rumors already, and we're only a week away or 6 days away. So we'll know what you know. Maybe they'll give us a sneak preview of what's coming.
Our next podcast will probably be out just after it, won't it? So
oh yes.
So, next week we will have the full story. But so a new operating system.
Lots of rumours around touch. You know, you've got iOS as an operating system. You've got macOS. And is there going to be a merger? Is there some sort of grand plan to just have one operating system? Is there going to be an app store on the desktop? A lot of people have talked about it for the last couple of years. Some people could see it as being very successful. Others turn around and say, would you ever see Photoshop
an app store for the desktop? Isn't that?
Yeah.
You know, your local PC world.
Well, it's just, I think it's because it's been so successful for the independent developers. People have said, why don't you have that run on a desktop? You know,
yeah,
so
why not? Yeah.
And I can see why not for certain apps. You know, I can't see Adobe ever turning around and saying, yeah, we'll give you 30% of Photoshop profit.
Okay, yeah. So the commercial deals, yeah, might be.
And there's and this talk about merging the operating systems, it's like that just sounds massive.
But I know that Henry was quite excited about the whole chance to twizzle your monitor and get into a touch mode. I think in the same way though that touch suits devices, and you can't use, you know, mouse and keyboard very well with, you know, mobile devices. Doesn't it work the other way around? I think if you've got the opportunity to use a mouse and keyboard, I can't see how a touch interface is going to actually add to that.
I just think certain apps would benefit and others would be, it would just be a real step backwards. I still can't, in my head, I can't wrestle certain apps ever having a touch interface.
I'm not sure it's the right direction for a desktop, but then, you know, I'm not the clever person here.
No, so there's other rumours about a new look and feel and some, you know, some real groundbreaking stuff coming out, and almost like a kind of step up again from what we saw on Windows 7, which did a lot of catching up and in some ways overtaking as well. You know, so
I've said to you now, having used both, I would say that, and I know there's an element of because I spend so much time and I know Windows 7, but I think Windows 7 environment is actually for me still nicer now.
Anyway. I
miss being able to maximize Windows.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, I guess I got over that very quickly.
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't, and yeah. I probably won't.
and it's just one of these things. Yeah. And also, there's some talk there might be some hardware next week as well. There's been lots of rumors about a new MacBook Air.
That's probably the oldest product they've got in their line, isn't it?
Yeah. So whether we see some speed bumps around about their other devices and a new bit of hardware, plus a 40-minute, 50-minute discussion on... And the other thing I thought was that there has been talk of, and it's not been mentioned in all the rumours, but iLife was there was some pictures on a German website of iLife and just how it was going to take that forward. And it might be that all the iLife products actually have iOS versions as well. So, we'll find out next week.
Yes, we are over time already, so let's crack on.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I've said that very like... Sorry, Mr. Hutchison.
It's not your fault, just don't do it again. Right, so Love Film have been active this week, although sort of quashed as well.
One's a rumour, and I think that's the one that might be...
Aren't they both kind of rumours-ish?
Oh, no, one's confirmed.
Okay.
No, so Love Film is coming to PS3.
Oh, I thought that was the one that got pulled.
No. Love Film, in November, it's coming to PS3. So Love Film's actually already on Bravia TVs. So I can go into my Bravia TV, sign up, and I can stream Love Film. And it's now very coming nice. To PS3 as well.
Very nice, too.
Very nice. And the other rumour was that Apple's trying to do a deal with Love Film before releasing Apple TV stock, but people are getting their Apple TVs. So I think this was one that was like 2 and 2 together gives you 5.
But Love Film, I mean, is our equivalent of Netflix. So it kind of makes makes sense, doesn't it, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, good for them, and hopefully they'll come to Xbox as well. Maybe. And buying one, and my buying decision obviously would be largely dependent on whether GT5 was available. Well, it looks like I'm being scuppered once more. They are delaying again, even though they gave us a release date.
So it was November 2nd.
How many
Mars
bars am I up to now?
Oh, well, I thought you sent the first one. Hey, maybe I'll pop down and see you next week and give you it.
Hey.
And awesome. A Mars bar as well.
So you've entered Robbie Williams.
That is so shady. Or being sniffed at both ends. So, yeah, it's instead of November 2nd, all they're saying is it'll be in the holiday season. And an actual announcement, we sincerely apologise to GT fans for the delay. However, creator... whatever, and the team at Polyphony Digital want to make certain they are creating the perfect racing experience, and we are confident
this
ambitious game will exceed expectations when it launches.
So what can still be left to do? Come on, they've been working on this for 6 years.
I know.
6 years?
An absolute joke. Even better, they spoke to one of the actual producers of the title today and said, well, it was made at executive level and we're not happy about it. So who knows what's going on?
So yeah, and everyone says it's, you know, maybe lining up for even, you know, not being out this holiday period, and
that would be a shock.
I just don't see the point of releasing it now. They reckon they've spent $60 million or something, and that was last year.
Need to get it out. We honestly need to get it out.
I think you cracked it. Wait, I think you nailed it last week. Not last week, the week before, when you just said it's feature creep.
Oh,
you know, they didn't define this product what they want. They said right. Driving, that's going to be our game, and they've tried to do it all, and I'm worried for it.
Well, how long ago did they do the thing about we've got the Top Gear track? And I was sitting there thinking, that is quite sweet,
yeah,
you know, to be able to take all the different cars in there and drive around the Top Gear track. And it's now just like, that was 3 years ago. That was 3 years ago, that announcement. And fair enough, the feature set in it is massive, but if they don't get this out for Christmas. Because if it's not Christmas, it's March, because they're not going to release it in February.
Most people aren't going to see most of the features because it's too big.
It's too much.
The other thing is, there's never been a game, and you know, I could be proved wrong, there's certainly never been a console game that has done cross-genre racing and done it well.
No, it's a jack of all trades. That's my worry. But then I always had a worry about GT handling and how real it felt and how nice it felt.
Anyway,
delayed again.
Yes.
One other little gaming tidbit. Three new maps for Halo Reach, November 30th.
There you go. Good stuff.
Or maybe it's October 30th. No, it's November 30th.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that.
$10.
Even though the new ones aren't feeling jaded yet, so it's good.
No, but I guess that's what, 6 weeks away, so...
P picks this week, I am going to let you have run riot with two picks, as I haven't got one.
Fantastic. The first one is the TED iPad app. I've mentioned TED before. I recommended the website. I've probably recommended the iPhone.
Yeah, I think. So if it wasn't you, it was me for sure. Yeah.
So the iPad app came out today, fresh, hot off the press. Not that I was desperate for a pick. So it allows you to pick from one of 750 TED videos. And TED, if you don't know, is that it's not just a yearly conference anymore. There's a number of conferences throughout the year that you pay $5,000 to go and watch.
They go $5,000.
Yeah, so there's one in Edinburgh next year.
Do they
year
not know there's an iPad app?
there's one in Edinburgh next year, and it's $5,000 to attend.
You should trick your work into getting you to go.
Yeah, so it's the rich, the famous, the influential. And it's to try and what they try and do is it's almost like a kind of pitch. You know, here's all these different pitches, and here's how people, ordinary people out there, and some rich and famous ones as well, are making a difference. And the good thing is they've actually releasing all the videos for free. You know, so some are actually on the day, some are maybe a couple of weeks later, some might take 4 or 5 months, but there is always four or five new videos every week. And because they're all on different topics, I just find some of them are superb, you know, just very informative, and some of them quite inspiring as well, which I know sounds really cheesy, but they are.
I've seen some great TED stuff. I mean, I have to say, TED is one of the things that actually I don't watch enough, and I'm not sure why it is, because I keep coming back to it and I go, yeah, I really enjoyed watching that video. But I guess there is an element of hit and miss with the videos you watch, and maybe that's what stops me from watching it more. Maybe if we can have some sort of ranking, but it's but the speeches that I have watched have been very, very good, and like you say, there's definitely a bit of inspiration there.
Oh no, there is. And so the 750 views are available via this iPad app. You can save the ones you like, so that maybe gives you that hint of the ranking you're talking about. You can view by themes or tags, and there's also an inspire me button. So you hit inspire me, you select a topic, and then you actually pick a time you've got available. So just say you've got 5 minutes.
Good feature.
Or just say you've got 20 minutes. So you pick your topic and say, I've got 20 minutes. And then you can either say, view the playlist and pick out one of the ones it's picked, or you can just say play and it just gives you a video.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. That's a great feature, because, you know, sometimes you look at a topic and you think, oh, I'd love to watch that. And then it's, you know, an hour and 45 minutes. So being able to select times is brilliant.
So
good job.
And it's just another one of these great, great apps that can sit in the iPad. You might only use it once every month. But
it's kind of what the iPad was built for as well, wasn't it? That's media consumption.
Well, and that's I know there's still a debate about consumption versus creation, and you can do a bit of creation on it, but it's a great, I mean, today in the plane was just excellent.
Yeah.
You know, just time flies. Time flies. Apart from the little pikey that was trying to steal it. Anyway, that's another story. My second pick. And this was recommended by good old Tam.
Yes.
But it is number one on the App Store, so you don't have to look hard. So it's from the same stable that did Angry Birds, and it's called Cut the Rope. And it's a similar pattern that you follow. There's a group of levels and you unlock future levels, and each one can have 1, 2, or 3 stars, similar to Angry Birds, depending on how many you complete. And it's a kind of physics-based game. You've got to feed candy to a frog, and to feed the candy...
I bet it's not a green frog either. I bet it's a pink frog.
No, it's green. Okay. And to... and to feed the candy, which is dangling from a rope, you need to cut the rope.
Simple in name.
Simple in name, and it's like Angry Birds. You know, all you need to do is pull back and let it go, and it's, but it's such a time sink, and this is the same. It's out for iPhone, it's out for iPad, but they're not. It's not a universal one, so if you want it on both devices, you need to buy it twice.
We got the pricing?
Yeah. They are priced.
Good. I'm glad they're priced.
I'm sure... It was about 119 or 59p or something. I think it's 59p in the iPhone, and it was 119 on the iPad.
So not the end of the world if you want it on both.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, as with most of the iPad or iOS apps or the Android apps, they all are very, very keenly priced.
You know, when we have lost a bit of perspective when, you know, EA releases a game that's £5 and everyone goes, oh, it's ridiculously expensive. But, you know, you buy the same game on Nintendo DS and it costs you £30.
Exactly. I mean,
everything's a bit distorted.
They are throwaway pricey.
Yes. Good. Well, that is us for today. Thanks for those picks. If you want to find out more about us, we're on digitaloutbox.com, and you can email us info@digitaloutbox.com and Twitter or Skype digitaloutbox. If we want to find out more about you, Ian?
Indie.net is a blog. Shripa is a Twitter name.
And I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you after the Apple event next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've received about 20 million Skype messages since we started as well.
That is bad.
20 million, actually, no. I say that. It's nine.
I just want to clarify, are you going to watch this Apple event next week?
I said I wouldn't. Yeah, so maybe. I don't know. Depends what mood I'm in.